scene. She's now the wife of Isaac. And next week we'll be studying about her family. So if you want to know who they have for children, come see us next week. We do invite you out to Sunday school. I don't have any birthdays listed. Anybody had a birthday this week? What about an anniversary? Don't have any of them listed. So we're not going to get Angie to sing either one. Okay. So nobody got any older and nobody got married. Okay. Well, without further delay, we'll turn it over to Angie.
Well, not Gary.
I'll tell you.
But if you'll stand and turn to page 296, we'll sing I'm Redeemed.
Amen. Good morning. Isn't it good to be redeemed today? Amen. I'm glad to be here today and good to be in the Lord's house. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings, your goodness, all your mercy and grace. Father, we are thankful for the redemption through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And thank you that we've been set apart, we've been saved, we're redeemed and on our way to heaven. Father, we just ask you for your guidance, your help, your leadership today. Father, that you'd bless according to your perfect will. Lord, have your way today. May we submit to you and allow the sweet Spirit of God to move and minister in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. As far as announcements, let's see, I have one that Brother Dennis would like to meet with the safety team immediately after the church this morning. Oh, the safety team, Brother Dennis wants to meet with those. Remember our service this evening. All that will come and come back and be part of that. And our Tuesday evening men's prayer group and our midweek Bible study. And then remember on the 24th, the van will leave here at 3 o'clock, and to be there at 4 at Shirley's, the seniors will be going, and that will be on August the 24th, and the van will leave here at 3 o'clock. So keep that in mind, and all. And there's a sign-up sheet in the back for that, and also on the. Have you seen we're going to go with the call multiplier and those sign-up sheets and those little green paper to be our for advertisements and prayer chain requests. And so fill that out. And if you want to receive a text or a phone message. So remember that, and those are back there, and sign up for both if you would this morning. Is there any other announcements? All right. We won't go to the Lord in prayer this morning, remembering all of our requests, all on our in our bulletins, and we'll take any special requests you may have this morning. Sister Janice. Yes. Booth family, the service will be today, and remember Sauce family had be having a graveside today. Remember the Bennett family. Yes, remember Jim and Donna Hill. Donna and Warren had gone to Oregon, and then Jim, he called, said he couldn't come today. He's staying with his sister and brother-in-law. So, but he's request for him also. Remember Jim and Donna. This will be all that will, let's come and gather around the altar this morning. All that will come, let a request be made known. Robbie, would you lead us in prayer this morning?
Father, we thank you for having time to be able to serve and thank you, Father, you're
If our ushers come, we'll receive a morning tithe and offering. Father, we're so thankful for this day, so thankful, Lord, to be your goodness and your grace, your mercy. And Father, we ask you now, bless this offering, bless each one, and God may give us wisdom and guidance and being good stewards of the money you entrust us with. And Lord, we just pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit.
glad that blessed Rock of Ages hides us, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone have anything on your heart this morning? And his grace is sufficient. Anyone else? If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I don't know. Sometimes I have to wonder if I do. I try to be obedient to the leading of the Spirit, and it seems like lots of times that my messages go backward instead of starting to move forward. And we had been talking about the manna, the children of Israel eat manna, and then we talked about the new corn of the land. And so now the Lord has taken me back and into the journey some. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, if you would stand with me, we'll start at verse 11. Thank you. For this commandment which I commanded thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the seas, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. You know, I want to just say a couple of statements here on this one. How often we're looking for something else. We're looking for what somebody else to come, somebody else to bring it across the world, water. So a lot of times that we think we need something else. What we're doing is not working. Anybody ever get there? And we feel like we're broken, and we feel like the system's broken, and we feel like, and Moses is telling here that God is leading him, and he said, you don't have to look anywhere else. You've already got it. And that's where we are today. We don't have to look anywhere else in the world. And you look around the world and we say, boy, we live in a broken world. And we're looking for answers, and we're looking for new leaders, and we're looking for new things and new things to help us too. When if we go back to our roots, we've already got what we need. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days into the land. Rather thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage. Lord, how powerful this passage is. And Lord, it was exactly what the Israelites needed. It's exactly what we need. God, I pray that you'd help me, be with me now, and anoint me with the power from up on high. I ask you to rebuke the devil and get rid of him and send him where you see fit and free us up. And Lord, may you accomplish your will and goal this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Want to speak on this morning, choose wisely. A golfer approached the first tee. Now, I don't know if you, how many of you ever played golf, but hey, something that's called the first hole anxiety. You can go to the driving range, you can think you've got it, and you get on that first hole, and it is, especially if there's four or five carts sitting behind you waiting to tee off behind you. Jerry's shaking his head, he knows exactly what I'm doing. It's just anxiety comes over you. This golfer was at a first hole, and there was a hazard, and water surrounded the green. And he had a new golf ball, and he couldn't decide if he wanted to use a new ball or not. This was a pretty hazardous hole, so he went with the old ball. He put the ball down on the tee, and he heard a voice from up above that said, use the new ball. So it encouraged him. He picked up the old ball and put the new ball down, and then that voice said again, take a practice swing. He stepped back from the ball and took his swing, his follow-through, felt comfortable. As he started to approach the ball again to hit it, the voice came again and said, use the old ball. He had a choice to make. And he didn't know which ball to use. And you might say, that's not much. And if you go buy them balls, you'll see why it's important you don't lose that new ball. But thinking along choices this morning, and I want to think and hear the children of Israel. 40 years, I want to take you back, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, take you back 40 years. 40 years they were coming in, and they were in Kadesh, and they were getting ready to go into the promised land 40 years earlier. And when they got to, of course, Moses had sent spies, and Caleb and Joshua was two of those spies. They went in, they came back, they brought the fruit. We know the story. The two said, let's conquer. The 10 said, oh no, we can't do it. It's too much. There's giants over there. There is no way. Some preachers will preach that the spies was the problem. They come back and some will say, well, Moses was not a good enough leader, strong enough leader. But it don't matter about the bottom line was that God had them to the brink of going into the promised land in a short time since they'd left Egypt. And they said, we will not do it. And he said, fine, I'll give you 40 years, think about it. And if you're from 20 up, you will not see the promised land. You want to talk about a decision. All those graves in the wilderness, 1.5 million people, probably up to 3 million, left Egypt. And all but two of them was buried in the wilderness before they got to go into the promised land. I'd say that's a major mistake. What would you say? I'd say that was a decision that they didn't think through. I'd say it's a decision they really regretted. And so now, as we see and we're thinking, that was a rough 40 years because of that decision. What are we suffering today of decisions we've made? I mean as a church and as a personal, either one. What decisions have we made that, man, we look back and we say, whew, I really blew it right there. How many times in church we can look back and say, man, we really blew it back there. We should have done this, or we should have done that. And this is the point that they've been in the wilderness 40 years. They've wandered. Now Moses is getting ready to go off the scene. And he is preaching them a message pretty well and telling them that you're getting ready to have a new leader. He's going to lead you into the promised land. I'm not going with you, but here you go. And I'm giving you some instructions before you go. I'll not be with you, but you better take heed to what I'm getting ready to tell you. And today, as we look and we think we've been in the wilderness and now we're crossing over into the promised land and we've got a lot of battles ahead of us and a lot of things are going, but I want us to look and think about some choices. See, it comes down to choices. Every day, we make decisions. We decide what we're going to say. We decide how we're going to live. We decide what we're going to eat. We decide where we're going to go to church, if we're going to go or not. We decide how we're going to respond to criticism. We decide how we're going to react to certain situations. We decide how we're going to treat people. We decide if we're going to be hateful or if we're going to be nice. You might say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. I do. That's a decision we make. And it's who we yield to lots of times is the outcome and the decision that we make. You ever get tired of wandering in the wilderness? It's tiresome, isn't it? It's aggravating. I like the promised land a whole lot better. The land flowing with milk and honey. See, at Kadesh, they made their decision. They said, Moses, we're not trusting you, and we're not trusting God, and we think we're better off not going in. How often in our lives, you say, preacher, what you say is pretty good, but I'm doing what I want to do.
The Bible? I've got my own way, my own agenda. God's will? I'll be all right. And then we say, oh, Lord, why would God do this to me? Amen? And I guarantee you, well, you know that they said, and if you read too, time after time after time in the wilderness, I wish we'd just died in Egypt. At least we had garlic and leeks over there. At least we had food to eat. Now we're out here to die. And it was their decision. Their choice. They'd have been in there years sooner. How often are we wondering when God's saying, I've got something better for you. Amen. I've got a better path for you. I've got a better direction for you. See, instead of fighting with God, we ought to, and fighting amongst ourselves and fighting each other and fighting different things, that we ought to join in the fight against the real enemy. We've got an enemy that's out to seek to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to send you to hell. He wants to take your family to hell. He wants to destroy anything that has to do with God. He would love to see the doors of this church lock up. He'd love to kill this preacher. He'd love to destroy us. He'd love to wipe Christianity clean off the map. But I come to tell you this morning, he can't do it. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I didn't come for you to wander in the wilderness. I didn't come for you to get beat up all the time. I came that you could live victorious in the way that you live. I came that you could live in the promised land. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to look, I know that's a long introduction. I want to look at some choices that here in verses 11 through 14. He said, for this commandment which I have commanded thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou mayest say, who will go over the sea and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth. See, this is personal choices that we all make. And if you notice here, he didn't say, here's a good suggestion. He said, here's a commandment. Why did he say that? Because he'd been with these folks 40 years in the wilderness. He knows the decisions they make. He knows the choices they make. How often? See, what if God get in his word and we say, well, he's got too many do's and don'ts and this and that. And he knows us. Do you ever think about, we're referred to as sheep in the Bible? Boy, sheep's real smart animals, ain't they? Brilliant. No. We need somebody, some commandments. We need, what if the children's just turn loose? Well, y'all ought not go play in the road, but if y'all do, go ahead. I wouldn't get on 26 if it's me, but your truck's out there, go ahead, go for it. We wouldn't be many youngins left, would we? Ain't you glad we got some commandments? Ain't you glad mom and dad whooped you out of the road? I am. I used the road right in front of the house, and I'd get whooped out of there. I didn't know no better. I thank God for the commandments. I thank God for the do's and the don'ts and the parameters and the shields that he puts up. And he said here that Moses said, I command you this day. It's the same word that's used in Exodus chapter 20 of the Ten Commandments. Amen. I command you. This is what you got to do if you want to survive. This is what you got to do if you want to prosper. This is what you got to do if you want to have life and have it more abundantly. This is the command that I give you today. It's the same with us. We've got 66 books. We don't have to wait for somebody to come from heaven to bring them to us. We've already got it. Somebody don't have to come over the ocean. We've got it. Well, can I share something real, real sobering right with you right there? Knowledge brings on responsibility. You might say, so what? What we know of that Bible, we'll be judged by. Woo! There brings it down, don't it? He said, this command I give you. And if we're going across the Jordan into the and live and reap the benefits of the promised land, we're going to have Jesus Christ written on our hearts. And I want to ask you this morning, we may not get past this one point. What's on your heart? What's on your heart this morning? I've heard it said, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. What is on your heart today? Is Jesus Christ the number one thing? Is He number one in our lives and in our hearts? And do we uphold Him more than anything? I'm getting a lot of blank looks. I'm going to help you with it. I mean, Tim, I'm sure he's pulled a few pop quiz. I'm going to pull a pop quiz this morning. And I want to ask you, we talking about our heart. What do you think you spend your time thinking about more than anything? I want you to take just a few seconds and say, my day, from when I wake up till I go to bed, and I'm not asking you to tell me, this is personal between you and God. I want you to say, I want you to come and get it right now. What do I think about more in a day than anything else? That's sobering. That's a sobering thought. See, what consumes your thought life? What is it? The biggest part of the day you're thinking of. See, whatever you think about the most in the day, that's where your heart is. Man, y'all have climbed plumb up on me now. I got personal, didn't I? And see, that's where our heart is. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wherever we're stocking up our treasures, or whatever is most important to us, that's where our heart is. Where we think about more than anything else. What we long for more than anything else. What we plan for. What we spend our money on. I've said this time and time again. You show me your checkbook, I'll show you your God. Y'all remember that? I need amen over here. See, this is where Moses was bringing them. This is where they had done and spent 40 years in the wilderness. He said, don't do it when you get into the promised land. You've made bad decisions. You've made bad choices. Your forefathers made a lot of mistakes. Don't you do it when you get over there. We made a lot of bad choices when we was living in Egypt. We've done a lot of bad things and the sin. But boy, now that we've crossed over Jordan, getting over into Canaan land, let's not do it. And the big thing is in our hearts, in our minds. Her heart is where our seat of emotions and all of this stuff is. And where is our heart's content? Or content. Proverbs 4:23. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What's he saying? You got to have your heart right to act right. Because I guarantee you, you can put on a facade. You can put on a pretty act. But if it's in there, eventually it's going to come out. Out of it are the issues of life. Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible talks about over in the New Testament, Romans, to be carnally minded is enmity with God. When we dwell and we think and we long and we lust after the things of the world, we're going against everything God's got to do with. Have I got the wrong message this morning? Or? See, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. Where are we this morning in our heart? The question is, and I'll give you another question, where is your heart today? In this message right now, what have you thought about the most? The last 20 minutes. I wish he'd get this over with. I'm starving to death. You know why I can say that? Because I've been there. Not every service, but they service them on my stomach's the ground. I think, man, sometimes up here I get like that. See, it's a choice that we make, a personal choice of our heart. Jesus said, follow me. If you love me, keep my commandments. And see, what's in our heart reveals who we are. Nothing else is acceptable. I've heard it said and heard it said and heard it said. And I'm convinced. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And I'm telling you, I'd take a big scraping with some theologians and preachers if they would hear that, some others that say that's not right. That is right. That is right. He didn't just come. See that over in Africa and other countries, I think it's Africa especially, or India maybe, they don't have a problem at all. They serve hundreds and thousands of gods. They've got gods stuck everywhere. They have no problem at all when they come in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, accepting another god. Bring him right on in. But when they said, well, you can't serve these other gods, you've got to serve this one God. There's the problem they have. Same way in Athens. You remember we went through Acts here not too long ago. It's the same way in Athens. They had all these gods everywhere worshiping. And Paul just happened to stumble across there one day and seen the tomb of the unknown God. They said, in case there's one that we missed, we want to build a shrine for him. Boy, Paul, this was able, jumped all over it. He said, this one, you don't know who he is? Let me tell you who he is. He's the God of Israel. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the real God. He's not made of earth. He's not made of stone. He's not made of all this other stuff. He is God. And today, we got to settle in our heart. Joshua said, later on said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Are you going to serve the God of the Amorites or the God of the Father on the other side of the flood? But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Y'all can do whatever you want to, but I'm taking my family and we're going to live like the Bible says to. We're going to live like God says to. Amen? Can I tell you that's not popular anymore? The biggest choice that we will ever make, that will have more effect than anything that we've ever, ever made, is what we would do with Jesus Christ. What are we going to do with Him? You might say, preacher, I've been saved older than you are, longer than you are old. You might say, preacher, I've been saved a year. I've been saved 20 years. I'm not saying when we made a confession. When have we made a profession? When have we made Him Lord of all? God of all? See, I'm afraid a lot of Americans and a lot of people in churches today are kind of like those I talked about in India and Africa. We've got so many gods, we'll put Jesus right in there with them. And hopefully, like the Preacher Cut Show used to talk about, the little woman said, good Lord, good devil. And they said, why do you say that? And she said, I won't know which hands I'm going to fall into, so I won't be on good terms with both of them. And to us, that sounds crazy. There's millions of people living like that. Which way's the wind blowing away? I'm going to go today. Amen? And we want enough religion to make us feel good and get us fire insurance. In the summer of 1986, two ships collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Hundreds of passengers died as they were hurled into the icy waters below. News of the disaster was further darkened when an investigation revealed the cause of the accident. It wasn't a technological problem, like radar malfunction or even thick fog. The cause was human stubbornness. Each captain was aware of the other ship's presence nearby. Both could have steered clear, but according to news reports, neither captain wanted to give way to the other. Each was too proud to yield first. By the time they came to their senses, it was too late. I'd run across this. I got on a computer and looked it up. Sure enough, I seen that later on, both of them captains was on trial, took to court over this. I never did hear the outcome. Stubborn, cost over 400 lives. See, I went yesterday to the funeral home. A guy I used to work with, 52-year-old. They found him, apparent heart attack, laying in the floor of his house the other morning. We're going here in just a little bit to go home and eat a bite. Maybe not get to eat meat. 48-year-old, young man I've known for years, Ron, and all of them's known him his whole life. Working on his truck and it fell on him. Went out into eternity. Dave got up, was sure going to get up other morning and go to work. Went into eternity. Met the Creator of the universe. See, this morning, the choices that we make, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed this evening. We're not guaranteed another minute. And there's a fact, two facts for sure. One of them is it's appointed and a man wants to die. A statistic that just blows my mind every time I think about it. One out of one people is going to die. And it don't matter how old you are. It don't matter what you've done, what you've accomplished, what you have, who you are, what your name is, how much money you got, how many people knows you. All of that don't matter. It's appointed unto man once to die. And the only other thing sure, and after this, the judgment. We're going to stand before God. If we've never been saved, it'll be a white throne judgment. To where he'll say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." But if we're in, if we've been saved, and we'll stand at the judgment of Jesus Christ will judge us, the judgment seat of God. Greg Laurie always said that if you could get there, and then if it said the judgment seat of Christ, that you can go, whew. Because we know that's the judgment for Christians. But he said, we will give an account. Not if we're going to go to heaven or not, but we'll give an account of what we did with Jesus and God's will in our life. Can I tell you something this morning? Just as loving as I can. Jesus didn't just save you to take you to heaven. He saved you to take you to heaven. But he's got a job for you while you're here. And it's not a pew warmer. Amen? He's got a job for us, and one day we're going to stand before God and give an account. How are we going to line up? I want to ask you right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you stood before God this evening, how do you think? Are you satisfied with your condition? Or is there some things you say, boy, I've wished, oh, Lord, I might need to get took care of? Nobody looking around. Is there anyone this morning say, preacher, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever really been saved. I don't know if I'm a Christian or not. I've never been saved. Would you just slip your hand up and right back down? Bless his hand. Is there any others? The preacher, I'm not real sure. I've went to church a lot. I've done a lot of things, but as far as really asking Jesus into my heart, I really don't know. Just slip your hand up and back down. Are you here this morning and you might say, preacher, I have been saved. But boy, I tell you, I've made a lot of mistakes and things just really not like I know they ought to be in my life. Would you just slip your hand up and back down? I won't make a spectacle. Say, will you pray for me? I need some prayer. You may be this morning and you may say, preacher, I trust the Lord and he said he's do all these good things, but I'm telling you, sometimes I just feel like throwing up and quitting. I'm going to having a tough time. Will you slip your hand up this morning and say, will you pray for me? Bless this hand. Bless this hand. See, can I share with you? The preacher has that problem too sometimes. These days we don't feel saved, don't we? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the honesty of our folks. Lord, thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I thank you for the drawing power. Lord, and I thank you for the freedom of people to express themselves. And
God, this morning, the Bible said where the Spirit is, there's liberty. And Father, I pray now that you would move upon our hearts. Lord, that you would touch each one, and I pray for every hand that was raised. I pray for that person, God, you would meet every need in their life. And Father, I probably folks that could have raised their hand in some of those areas. I pray, God, for each one of us, you would touch us. And Lord, that you would help us today. Give us victory today and help us to make the right choices. Help us to make the choice to call upon the name of our Savior. Not only in salvation, but in times of trouble. He's ever-present help in a time of need. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. God, I pray today that you'd meet our needs. I know there's some heavy hearts. And Lord, would you take this time and minister to our needs? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Will you stand? Will you come this morning? Is God dealing with you this morning? That question I ask, if you stood before God here in a few hours or in the morning, and God say, what'd you do with Jesus? See, that's all that matters. Nothing else matters in this whole wide world except what we have done with Jesus Christ. Is He the Savior today? Is He the Lord of your life? Is He your God and friend? Or is He a good luck charm that we keep in our pocket? Are you going through difficulties and you need to call upon Him today? He said, come unto me, all ye that weary or heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He can give you the rest and the peace that nobody else can. Will ye come today? Will ye come and call upon Him? Will you come? Friend, don't put it off. We have no promise of another day. No promise of in the morning. Well, preacher, I'll wait till next week. Next week might be too late. With the pride of those two captains driving those ships, there was great destruction, but it was too late when they come to their senses. Had they gone too far, the course was already set. They could not steer away because it had got too close. So often in our lives, we'll let the course go so far and it'll go so far away that we can't get it back in time. Don't do it today. Will you come? Moments are passing. Time is slipping right away. See, that 40 years went pretty quick in the wilderness. Will you come? Today is the day of salvation. Come while you can. Now is the accepted time. Will you come? Come home. Jesus. Yeah. you all. Thank you today for being so attentive. Does anyone have anything on your heart? Don't you know, no matter what state of mind you're in today, God loves you. He loves you so much He sent the best heaven had to offer. Aren't you glad for that today? All hearts and minds clear. Dennis wants to meet with the safety team a few minutes after the service.
Well, I hope to see you in a little bit. Come on back. I don't know if we'll finish this or go another direction. We'll see. Come on back. It's all hearts and minds clear. Brother Sam, would you dismiss us?